John chapter 8, verses 39 and 40. As we continue to go through the book of John, the gospel according to John, verse by verse. If you're able to stand, please stand. John 8, 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Father, thank you for your word. I ask you to bless the reading of it this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me see that. Thank you for standing. The title of the message is Hating the Scales and the Alarm Clock. Hating the Scales and the Alarm Clock. And you'll see how that ties in just a second. I want us to picture this event that's going on here, the setting of Jesus with these Pharisees here, these Jews of the temple in Jerusalem. They're going back and forth. Jesus has given them the truths of the Scriptures over and over and over again. Listen, the truths of the Scriptures have always and always will point people to Jesus Christ. He's given them the history a little bit of Israel, of Abraham. He's given them Abraham's personal testimony. And the more that Jesus speaks, the madder they get. So since they get mad, what happens is that they get on the defensive. Y'all been there? Husband and wife having a little spout, and one or the other gets on the defensive and starts drawing things in there, starts pulling things way back from your third uncle twice removed that happened something 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And you get on the defensive, and when you get on the defensive, you start throwing all kinds of stuff up to get the pressure off of you. So I want you to see here that as they're going back and forth, Christ giving truth, the Jews, these Pharisees here, these religious crowds are mad on the defensive. It's not a friendly conversation. Amen. When the pressure is put on the flesh, which is going on here, the flesh will be manifested. What's on the inside will come out. What is the abundance of your heart will come out. Why is it that you get orange juice from the orange when you squeeze it? Because that's what's inside of the orange. And if you and I are operating in the flesh when we are squeezed or when the fire is put to us, the flesh will come out. The flesh will be manifest it. If there is a certain area that you take pride in your life, when that area is attacked or questioned, if you're operating in the flesh, your chest will poke out, your heart rate will increase, your eyes will narrow, and you are ready to jump on someone. Can everybody say amen right here? One thing that these Jews here in Jerusalem really took pride in was their religion. They took pride in the fact that they were Abraham's children, that they were descendants from Abraham. And Christ has been telling them over and over again that He is the only way to the Father. So the pressure is getting put on them. If the truth is what's putting pressure on someone, then they refuse to hear the truth. And when you refuse to hear the truth, this wall goes up saying, I will not hear that. Then you begin to hate what they're telling you and hate the person that's telling you. Have any of y'all ever got on the scales at your house? I'm talking about the scales that you weigh on. And not like the numbers that you see? How many of y'all ever got on a scale and said, hey, these things must be off? Kids, you mess with this thing? Somebody done broke the scales. I had to go to the doctor the other day to get a physical so I can continue to drive a Class A license. And the doctor asked me, he said, how much do you weigh? According to the scales out there, I said, Doc, y'all scales is broke. I said, they ain't right. They say I weigh 226. So that can't be right. Guess what he wrote down? 226. You know why? His scales are right. I like my scales at home better. Because they said I weighed 208. Now, we laugh, but I want you to think about that for a second. Why do I like the scales at home better? Because I like it. I like that number better. Matter of fact, if I could find a set of scales that tell me I weigh 165, I'll put them in my bathroom. Amen. Anyway, hating the scales on the alarm clock. How often do you go back to those scales? That's not telling you what you want to hear. I don't. I hadn't dealt with the problem, so I don't want to go back to the scales. You know why? They're going to tell me the same thing they've been telling me. They're going to tell me the truth. And if I keep getting back on those scales, then I got to face the truth. Now, I can make excuses. Yeah, when I wait at the doctor's office, I have my steel toes on. I have my wallet in my pocket, my phone in my pocket. I had my belt on. I had socks on. I'll go further and further. Amen? Keys on my side. I just drank a lot of coffee, so I probably have fluid somewhere. I'm simply saying I can make a lot of excuses why I weighed so much. And those excuses try to get me around the facts. And I end up not liking the truth. Next thing. How many of you ever got mad at the alarm clock when it's going off? I mean, you just get fighting mad. If you had a hammer, you'd hit it. Have y'all ever taken the alarm clock and thrown it? I can remember back whenever my wife and I hadn't been married very long, and I found out why she was always late everywhere she went. Before we got married, I wasn't quite for sure, but after we got married, now I know. She hit the snooze button. And this was her excuse to me. All the hell's waking me up. I said, well, it's making me mad. I mean, if I'm getting up at 6 o'clock, I'm getting up at 6 o'clock. Don't keep waking me up every 10 minutes telling me it's time to get up. So what happens? Well, the alarm clock goes against the wall. Not very politely. I'm just joking. I never did that. Why do you get mad at the alarm clock? Because it's truth. What's it telling you? It's time to get up. Whether you want to or not, it's time to get up. Why don't you like it? Because you want to sleep longer. So we got the scales. They insulted your flesh. The alarm clock irritated your flesh. So now you hate both of them. Here's the thing, that the scales, the alarm clock, it's got nothing against you. It's simply giving you the truth. Jesus is speaking truth to these Jews here. He's simply giving them the truth. The truth is revealing as the scales reveal to us where we are physically. The truth is revealing to these Jews and to you and I where we are spiritually. They don't like what Christ is saying. Look back at verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Now, we looked at that, and we understand that, that many that believed on him, that does not mean that they believed in the saving of the soul. So what Christ does here, he brings clarity here in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Of course, we looked at this as knowing that these are marks of a genuine believer, is that they, or you and I, will continue in the word of God. We'll continue in the words of Christ. We'll follow them. A genuine believer is a lover of the truth. And you love the truth because it makes you free. And if we would love the scales would say, then we would do something about it, if need be. Some of you don't need to, amen, but some of us do. In the same way here spiritually, you love the truth as a saved person because the truth, listen, it sets you free from assumptions and traditions of men. The truth gives you a peace of mind, peace in your soul. The truth gives you not confidence in life and in death. Amen. I'll tell you one reason why some people don't like the truth of the Scriptures. If I'm wrapped up in traditions of men, if I'm wrapped up in what my grandpa said or did or my grandma said or did, and then the truth of Scripture showed me some things about my grandparents. Now, this is just an illustration. Or about the church I go to, about the traditions I follow. If the truth of Scripture shows me that's wrong, I'm liable to say, hey, I don't want to believe that. You know why? Because it goes against what I want to believe. I want to say this, and I want to say it in love, with me included in this. No one can bear the thought of their loved one being in hell. I don't like that thought. I got friends that's in hell today. I grew up with family members in hell today. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible plainly teaches us more going to hell than he is heaven. But this does not change the truth, folks. Someone who says, I don't want to believe that part of Scriptures, because if that is true, then my daddy or my grandpa or my kids or my loved ones, then they're not in heaven. If I believe what that Scripture, if I believe what the Scriptures say. And I want to say this. So, sir or ma'am, you're saying that your dad was, in a sense, standing on the tracks of the train blowing a horn, he refused to hear it, and got killed. And you're saying that you refuse to hear the truth. Do you not understand that you're doing the same thing? Standing on the track. And the whole time you hear the warning of the truth of the fact that the train is coming. Death is coming. And you want to follow whoever it is you want to follow. Hating the truth. And once we get into verse 43, we'll understand more about this because it'll become more clear through the Scriptures. Look in verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Here again, they are looking to other things and people instead of looking to Christ. And Christ, again, he gives them truth. But again, they say, no, we've done told you, we're telling you again, Abraham is our father, we're in good shape. Look what he says in verse 39. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. I want you, if you mark in your Bibles, underline, do the works of Abraham. The word children here is true children, genuinely descendants. The word would here is in the imperfect tense. Let me explain to you what that means. This means, well, I'm reading it again, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. This means that if they were the true children of Abraham, they would have been doing the works of Abraham in the past to the present, and continuing to do them in the future. Not just because a certain person is around. My. How we can change from one person to the other. From one event to the other. From one room to the other. If we're over here in this room talking about Christians and we're all about Christ, and go over here and there's nothing about Christ, and all of a sudden we're nothing about Christ. We're like water, unstable. Christ is simply telling them, if you were truly Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham, and you would have been doing it. Let's look at a few things about Abraham this morning. I want to say this about Abraham. Did he make mistakes? He did. Read about it. But I'm going to give you something else. He was consistent in repenting. He was consistent in his walk with God. He was consistent to do the works of Abraham. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called, watch this, the friend of God. Isaiah 41:8, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. 2 Chronicles 20:7. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? So he's here that Abraham is the friend of God. This word friend is to have affection for. God had affection for Abraham. God loved Abraham. Therefore, Abraham loved God. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Genesis 18:19, the Lord says, for I know him, speaking of Abraham, he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. So what are some of the works of Abraham? To do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So when Christ says in verse 39, ye would do the works of Abraham, he's saying that you would be doing justice and judgment. Justice is righteousness, blameless conduct, and integrity. Living a life of integrity. Living a life of blameless conduct. Look back at the Pharisees. They were not living a life of integrity. They had turned the temple into what? A den of thieves, Christ said. He drove them out. Remember that? Let me tell you who was in charge of all that. The high priest. That's who it was. They had their hands in all those things. The religious crowds. This was part of their investments. You could say they would lease a spot in the temple to put your sheep. They'd lease a spot in the temple to put your pigeons or your doves. The money changers over there to change money from coming in from different countries and whatnot. This is part of their business. They would devour widows. They would take them and say, yes, we'll take care of you, and put them over here and devour their inheritance. Take it all. They were not people of integrity. They were not people who had a blameless conduct. They were not righteous in their doings. Listen, folks, for Abraham to do justice was for Abraham to imitate his heavenly Father in righteousness and justice. This word judgment simply means doing right in the Lord's eyes. Doing right in the Lord's eyes. Hang with me. We're going somewhere with this. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Proverbs 21:15 says, it is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. It's a joy for those who are saved to do judgment. What is judgment? Doing right in the Lord's eyes. It's a joy to do right in the eyes of God. The Lord does that which is right all the time. And it is a joy for us who love the Lord to do right also. Not just with words. And surely not with trying to pay off the Lord. Well, what do you mean by that? How often do people come and put money in the plate with the mindset, that's my part. That's good enough for me. I tie my time, my money, everything in the plate. Then go out and don't do nothing for Jesus. That's paying off the Lord, trying to. It don't work, though. He does deal with Israel on that, and Lord willing, we may look at that later. But for someone who's saved, it is your joy. Listen, folks, if you're saved, walking with the Lord, then you know what I'm talking about. It's a joy to do right. I warn y'all to stay away from feelings and experiences in a sense of not dwelling on them because they will lead us astray. But there are feelings and experiences in serving the Lord. I want to say that also. Think about it for a second. How great of a feeling is it when you lovingly obey God? How great is it when you just witness to someone? Amen? Whether it be by telephone or email or text messaging or standing in the gas line or at the DMV where I was at for 6 hours Friday. Amen. And they got some mad folk in there. They ain't happy to be there to begin with. And then they get there and they look in there and all of them must be religious because they say, oh my God. I got there, I put my number, walked in, and my number was 96, and looked on the board, and they's on 61. I said, I'll be here a few hours. And I was. But how much of a joy is it when you have just witnessed to someone? They may get saved, they may not get saved. That's not on you and I. One water, one plant, God gives the increase, right? But what a joy to be used of God, to be obedient to the Lord. Kids, y'all hearing me this morning? What a joy to stand up for Jesus Christ in school, wherever you're at. To be obedient. For people to say, hey, that person, that boy, that girl loves the Lord. What joy that is to bring glory and honor to your heavenly Father. Excuse me. Back in verse 39. Jesus tells them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. What will they do? They will live a life of integrity. They will live the life, a life of blameless conduct. They would be doing right in the Lord's eyes. I want to tell you why Abraham lived like this. Why Abraham lived with the sense, I know he messed up. Listen, we all mess up, and we're going to keep messing up. I'm telling you why, because we are robed in this flesh. But I want to tell you why Abraham looked to do right in the eyes of God, because he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. How many of you love your parents? And how many of you want to do right to your parents? If you won't do right, then you won't want your name run down, because that's their name. Amen? And you want to do right in the eyes of your parents and in the eyes of others for bringing honor and glory to your parents. You want to honor your parents when you love them. If you love them, I should say. And Abraham loved his heavenly father. Abraham didn't do righteousness. He didn't do judgment. He didn't do justice to be saved. He done this because he was saved. This is consistent with all who were saved. Excuse me. We live a life of repentance because we want to please our heavenly father. And we want to do right in his eyes because we love him. This is part of the sanctification process. You and I are to stay in the Word, and as we grow in the Word and get closer to God, listen, the Word shows us where we're at. The truth shows us sin in our lives. And we repent from it, we turn from it, and grow closer to the Lord. As we do, we see more and more sin in our lives. And then we turn from it again and again. Listen, folks, again, this is not to be saved. This is because we are saved. It's a result of salvation. We bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, and we continue to do this. This is a consistent lifestyle. If you and I are not in the Word consistently every day, we will not live like this. The flesh will begin to have the preeminence in our lives, and we will lose the joy of salvation. You'll be a miserable person as a Christian. And we ask ourselves, how about those who make a profession but yet live a lifestyle of open sin? The Bible plainly deals with that. A person was never saved to begin with. If a hog returns to his vomit. I mean, if a dog returns to his vomit and a hog to a wallowing in the mire, why is that dog and a hog do that? Because that's what comes natural to them. Because they're dogs and hogs. What does a sheep do? A sheep is dependent upon its master. Amen? You ain't going to find no sheep wallowing in the mud. If it's in the mud, it's out of place. And it is in trouble. Amen? I've never heard of a sheep eating puke. Amen? Never heard of a sheep doing that. Well, that sounds nasty, but that's what it is, ain't it? What's a sheep eat on? Now, stop thinking about it for a second. What does a sheep eat on? Sheep's food. Amen? Grass. Those things where the shepherd brings it to eat at. Now, where does our Heavenly Shepherd bring you and I to eat at? The Word of God. Amen. When the truth confronts us, when the truth reveals to us truth, we can get angry. We can get angry with the scales, with the alarm clock, and we can stay away from the scales, can't we? But guess what we're forced to deal with? Their alarm clock. If you want to keep your job, anyway. But we deal with the alarm clock grudgingly. This is a miserable person. If your lifestyle is rebellion towards God's Word, then the love of the Father is not in you. Jesus tells them that if they were truly Abraham's children, they would be doing the works of Abraham. Abraham loved and obeyed the truth. He embraced the truth. He wanted the truth. Look at verse 40. And verse 39, he tells them that you would do the works of Abraham. But verse 40 says, but here comes the difference. You seek to kill me. I want you to see why. A man that have told you the truth If you look this up, this is what it's saying. Ever since Christ began to tell them the truth, they've sought to kill him. From day one. Where does truth come from? What I've heard of God. At the moment Christ told them the truth, which came from God, they hated the truth. And they hated the one proclaiming it. And they hated the one from whom it came. What do they love? They love their religion. And they would only use the word of God for their advantage. The law says this. This old girl must be stoned to death. Go ahead and kill her. The law says this. The law says this. They have so many traditions. They have so many man-made traditions. We'll look at this in the conference on the family coming up, Lord willing. Some people believe that you could get a divorce for anything. This teaching was very, very popular during that day, as it is today. Do you know how many people like going to the same lawyer to get a divorce and it cost them about $45, whatever it is? $150, over with, done with, see ya. Am I telling the truth? I want an easy divorce. This yours, this mine. Sounds good. Sound here. Good deal. How much? Oh, that's great. I got that. But then you find someone that fights for their marriage. One wants to leave, the other wants the other one to stay. They fight for their marriage. It costs them thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. The way most of these Pharisees here view, now this is going to sound crazy to you, but y'all bear with me. They said, for any reason, I can get divorced. If my wife burnt my supper, do you know what I could do? She doesn't please me anymore. So, hey, I need to go ahead and get a bill of divorcement here. She's got to go. Does that sound crazy? That's how it was. And no doubt that's where it's going to in America here today. Or if this happens. I know that people joke like this, and it kind of makes me a little mad sometimes, but they say, oh, I'm going to trade her in on a younger model. I see some of y'all smiling. Let me tell you, this was their idea. My wife gets up in age, and she's not as pretty as I think she ought to be. I see one prettier. Hey, divorce. I want this one. Now we say, oh, no way. Oh, yeah. You women ought to be thankful for Jesus Christ. Amen. He freed y'all from a lot of stuff. Traditions of men mainly. And we'll get there later on. These Pharisees, they loved their religion. They worked their way up in their religion. They saw the stepping stones, the competition with others. And they would only use the word of God for their advantage. And that was it. Look at Matthew 15. There's so much we could look at here with the Pharisees. Look at Matthew 15, 1 through 9. Matthew 15, 1 through 9. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. I want you to see that. Matthew 15:1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. Where are they at? Jerusalem. Saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? The tradition of who? Not the scriptures, but of the elders. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Oh, goodness. They're going to die and go to hell. Why? Because they ain't washed their hands while they eat bread. Sound familiar? Have you talked to people that's grounded in their traditions of men? And they tell you that if your sleeves don't go so far, you lost. If you lay there wearing skirts to your ankles, you lost. If your hair ain't cut just right, you lost. So on and so forth. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What are they rooted and grounded in? The traditions of men, not Scripture. Is that silly? Y'all have just broke the traditions of men. You ain't washing your hands before you eat. Oh, Lord, help me here. I want to use a little common sense here. If I'm on a deserted island with no water, well, that's water around me, I reckon. If I'm in the desert with no water and I got a piece of fried chicken, I had it all day long, guess what? I'm eating that fried chicken. There's times that we've been working the shop and be full of grease and all over. So I remember one day, my mom felt sorry for us, went to town and bought everybody some chicken. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Bird. And she come back and we was all excited, of course, that we had some free food. And it was fried. And we all tried to wash our hands and you had to scrape the grease and all off of it. It wouldn't come and we changed the wheel seals, I believe what it was. And at the end of us eating, of course, we got finished washing our hands, and they were still black. But when we got finished eating, the tips of our fingers was white as could be. That was amazing what that chicken grease did. Amen. But is that not? This is. I know we're making light of it, but folks, this is very, very sad. What kind of a burden are they putting on the people here? You can't serve God. Your hands ain't washed. You ain't right with God. Your hands are dirty. Now listen, this is not a spiritual application here. This is physical. Your hands are dirty. How dare they eat bread with hands that ain't clean? Watch what Jesus tells them. Verse 3. But the answer said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? He's saying, you're transgressing the Scriptures by your traditions. Right. Now, folks, let me say this quickly and we'll move on. All traditions ain't bad traditions. Amen? I got that? Okay, let's move on. Verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines. Listen, teaching for doctrines. Teachings for teachings of the Bible, the commandments of men. What are they doing? They're taking the traditions of men and putting it up here. They're putting the Scriptures down here, and they pull the Scriptures out every now and then just to back up their traditions. Lord, help us not to do that. Amen? Thank God for the Scriptures. They stayed away from the whole counsel of the Word of God. This is why the Word of God went against all their traditions, or most of their traditions. They were against anything that would confront them. They didn't like dealing with the conviction, and they didn't like dealing with the truth. In other words, they may have to deal with the alarm clock, but they refuse to get on the scales. Why? Because that's truth they just couldn't bear. Look at verse 40, the end of it, of John 8. Jesus says, "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." This ain't what Abraham did. Abraham loved the truth and those who proclaimed the truth. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He followed by faith. He desired to live a life well pleasing to the Lord. He desired a word from God. He desired communion and fellowship with the Lord. Some of you may deal with the evidences of a new day every day. But you refuse to get on the scales of the Word of God. Because it tells you what you don't want to hear. And it shows you what you don't want to see. Now, what we don't want to hear and what we don't want to see does not change the facts. Amen? And there are evidences all around us that show us this. Listen, folks, just because you and I may not want to embrace truth, it does not change the fact that truth is truth. There are scriptures that you may not want to embrace. It does not change the fact that they are scriptures. Thank God for His truth. Thank God for grace. That your eyes have been opened up. That you do see. And that you do love. And for those of you who do not see and do not love, I want to encourage you to run to Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Him and be saved. Only He can save. Here's the truth, folks. Front to back. Here's truth. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? You know, some people can take them scales and kick them under a cabinet in the bathroom. And every now and then go back in there and pull them out. And say, nah. And kick them again. You know, that's what some folk do with the Word of God. Every now and then they pull it out. Every now and then, look at it. Say, nah. And put it back. Why? Because it's saying the same thing it said last time. You need Jesus. Oh, but I'm saved. You still need Jesus. I still need Jesus. Every day. Amen. Don't hate the scales of the Word of God. Don't hate the alarm clock of the Word of God. Embrace it. Love the truth. Truth sets us free. Truth conforms us to be more like Christ. These guys here, these people here, they did not do the works of Abraham. And as we get further into chapter 8, and I'm not trying to drag it out, but these verses I want to take time and go over them. You'll see why. To sum it up, they're simply not saved. And if you and I would look back in our lives whenever we wasn't saved, how much of the truth did you want to hear? How much of the truth would you try to go around? How much of the truth would you try to delude? You know, there's a thing on those scales where you can adjust it to make it say what it don't say. How many of y'all know that? That ain't right. You better check your scales. You can take the Word of God and make it say what it don't say also. By taking it out of context. By changing it to fit your ideas and my ideas. Take it as it is, the whole counsel of God, front to back. It's truth. If the Word of God says you're saved, what are you? It says you're lost, what are you? You're lost. It says you're backslidden, what are you? Backslidden. One more place where we mess up the Word of God, then we're going to close. Often we'll take the Word of God, we'll say, Yep. That's good for so-and-so. Yep, that'd be good for so-and-so. Boy, they need to hear that. We need to hear this. I'm not saying they don't. But we do too. Let me ask you this. The speed limit sign's on the road. Who's that for? The other guy? That's for everybody. That's for whosoever, right? Jew or Gentile. Amen? But what do we always say? I'm the exception to the rule. I'm the exception. How many of y'all have connections with law enforcement? Raise your hand. And just because I do, does that make me the exception to the rule? Go ahead and pull me over. I'm just going to make a phone call. Is that right? Does that give me the right to do wrong? Truth, truth. Whether I like it or not. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is truth.